Lancaster Baptist Church podcast is designed to inspire you to love God, grow you in the knowledge of God's Word, and challenge you to serve others in the name of Jesus Christ.
If you have your Bibles this evening, turn to Acts chapter number 4. Book of Acts chapter number 4. Of course, we're just coming down from a great spiritual leadership conference, and then on Sunday we had the missions emphasis Sunday, and I tell you what, we've had a great ride as a church the last few weeks, and it's been a joy just to soak it all in and to be a part of what God's doing here. And may I challenge you, never get over the thrill of being a part of Lancaster Baptist Church. And every time you walk through these doors, every time you walk into this auditorium, and as you sit in the pews, be thankful for what God is doing here, and that you have a part of it, and that you are a part of what God's doing here. And it's a great joy for my family and I to be here and to serve alongside Pastor. And we're excited about the remainder days of this summer. Then, of course, as we go into the fall season and what God has in store for us as a church family. Acts chapter 4, verse 36. Let's stand together. And we'll look at just one verse tonight. One verse, verse number 36. Acts chapter 4. And verse number 36. And Joseph, who was by the apostles, was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your goodness tonight. Thank you for saving us. And what a joy it is for us to be in this place, to be a part of this wonderful church. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to just find what we need from your word tonight. May you strengthen us and enable us, Lord, to live for you this week in a purpose-filled way. And Lord, I pray that you bless our preacher right now as he's preaching in Colorado. I pray that you'd use him in that setting. And we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Isn't it amazing how God is willing to use so many different types of people to further his cause here on planet Earth? Not allow that to sink in. All of us in this room are different. We all have different strengths. We all have all different weaknesses. We have different personalities. Some of us are quiet. Some of us are loud. Some of us are timid. Some of us are very bold in our personality. Some of us are very sober-minded. And some of us are very funny. But you know what I'm saying? God wants to use all of us. As you think about that, God used an adopted little boy to lead his nation out of bondage once he grew up. Moses, a little rugged shepherd boy God used to defeat the giant, David. A lady was used to unfold the wicked plot that Haman had devised to destroy the Jewish nation, Esther. In the New Testament, God used a little lad and a little lunch to feed the multitudes. And even tonight, we're going to look at a man that God greatly used in a great way, and God used him to touch many different people's lives and to encourage that early church. And his name is Barnabas. We might stand back for a moment and think about Barnabas and think, okay, what was his talents? What were his abilities? And what was his gift mix that God used him in such a great and a powerful way? Well, basically, Barnabas was an encourager. Monday, my wife and I had the privilege of taking a pastor and his wife out for lunch that was here for the leadership conference, and they stayed through the week. And as we were having lunch with this family, I asked them, I said, Pastor, and I said, what are you and your wife taking away from this ministry and from the spiritual leadership conference? I thought that, you know, I said, well, the preaching of God's word, and boy, how we heard the preaching and how Pastor preached through the word of God. Maybe it was on Tuesday night, maybe from Brother Skelly and about proclaiming the word of God, or maybe it was something that Brother Gibbs said about the church, but it wasn't any of those things. I thought, well, maybe it was our music and how we kind of did our music program here and the different groups and the orchestra, and I thought maybe that's what they would say, and it wasn't that. Then I thought, well, maybe it was our programs. Maybe I thought how we ran our adult Sunday school classes, and maybe how we had the structure with the discipleship and our outreach, and maybe it was through our teen ministry. Maybe it was the multimedia and how we use, just the video and how God used that to prepare our hearts for the different services. It wasn't any of that. And as they began to answer that question, the wife spoke up, and as soon as she started talking, she started to cry. And she said, "Let me tell you what we're taking away from this conference that really challenged us and changed us." I believe it was a Wednesday afternoon when they went out to the gymnasium for a lunch. And as they went to lunch, they enjoyed their lunch. And as they were leaving, there was a 12-year-old girl that was standing there by the door. And the lady said to this 12-year-old girl, "Thank you for serving." And the little girl responded, "No, thank you for allowing me the privilege to serve you." And the lady said this, the pastor's wife said this, "It wasn't the preaching, it wasn't the music, it wasn't the multimedia. It was a 12-year-old girl that encouraged my heart to keep going for the cause of Christ." And you want to know something? That is a great joy, just to think that God used a 12-year-old girl to encourage a pastor's wife to continue on in serving the Lord. Encouragement is like many things in life. It's hard to define. But we know it when we've experienced it. Because encouragement is the manifestation of grace. It has its roots in the character of God. And so tonight, in these next few minutes, we're going to look at Barnabas, who was known to be one that encouraged other people. So let's dive into this tonight. First of all, let's look at the description of one's life. Here in verse number 36, we see it says, Joseph, who was by the apostle's surname Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus. Now that word consolation comes from two Greek words, para and kaleo, and that means to alongside of and to call. In other words, Barnabas was one that came alongside of others and encouraged others. He poured strength, he poured hope, he poured a life into other people's lives. And he was known by encouraging others so much that the apostles renamed him. They called him the son of consolation, one that encouraged other people. I wonder tonight, if there was an apostle here, I wonder what he would rename you or me. Would it be something positive like Barnabas, the son of consolation? Now, how did Barnabas encourage others? Let's look at three practical ways. First of all, we find in this portion of Scripture that Barnabas was generous in his giving. Look up at verse number 34, where the Bible says, "Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." And Joas, who was an apostle whose surname Barnabas, having land, verse 37, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Here we find that Barnabas was one that was generous. He was a generous man. He was a man that was willing to give. And I pray that as a church and as believers tonight, that we would never lose that spirit of being generous with what God has given to us. Do you realize that as a church that we've heard from this pulpit many times, pastors coming up and telling us as a church family, "We want you to know as a church, you have encouraged our church by the way that you have been giving sacrificially for the different programs and the different buildings that you have on this campus." Many times we've heard a pastor say something like that. And I think for many of us, it goes in one ear and out the other ear. But do you realize that God uses people that are generous with what God has placed in their hands to be an encouragement to others? And I pray that you and I, as individuals, as believers, as members of this local church, that we would never lose that spirit of generosity, that we would always be willing to give and encourage and to help those that are maybe going through a difficult time, that we'd always have our hearts open, our hands open, to extend a helping hand to others. I think of our missionaries and how they look to this church to be an encouragement to them, not only financially, but also in the area of prayer, to encourage them in the work of the Lord. I pray that as a church that we would always be known as generous, that we would be willing and desiring to give. Not only do we see that he was generous in his giving, but he also was gracious to others. The Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter number 9, I believe these verses are in your notes. And the Bible says in verse number 26, "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, He essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus and in the name of Jesus. Here we find that the apostle Paul, of course, at this time was known as Saul of Tarsus. And Saul was a new Christ follower. And he was a tender plant, if you allow me to say it that way, that could have been easily uprooted. Paul needed somebody that would care for him. Barnabas was that man. Barnabas was used by God to plant Paul firmly in Christ. You might think, well, what was the secret ingredient that helped Paul to flourish and to become the great apostle that he was? One simple word, the word encourager. Barnabas was an encourager to the apostle Paul. And I pray that you and I, that we would be gracious to others, that we would encourage them. Now, how did Barnabas encourage Paul? How was he gracious to him? There's three ways that are identified here in this portion of Scripture. First of all, he was courageous to forgive. Look what the Bible says there in verse number 26 at the end of it. And believed not that he was a disciple. Those believers, those members of that church believed not that Saul was truly a disciple, a follower of Christ. They thought that he was disguising himself to go in there and to break into the ranks and really to take them captive and take them to prison because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was one that was willing to forgive him, and that was Barnabas. And Paul had that reputation of persecuting the church, but Barnabas was willing to forgive him. And his forgiveness was expressed by his willingness to reach out to him. Now I wonder tonight, are you reaching out to other people to encourage them? And I'll tell you what, one characteristic that will hinder us from reaching out and helping other people and being gracious to them is if we have an unforgiving spirit towards that person. If I have bitterness towards Brother Chapel over here, most likely I'm not going to try to encourage him. Most likely what I'm going to do is probably kind of avoid him. Why? Because I have something against him. And think about this. We have Saul there. There was a brand new Christian. But Barnabas took the risk in forgiving him and reaching out to him and becoming his friend. And I pray that you and I, as a church family, that we would not have a unforgiving spirit in our heart, that we would be willing to forgive others, because that would give us a sense of liberty to reach out to others and to help them and to be gracious towards them. Now do we see he was courageous to forgive, but number two is this. Number two, he was controlled by faith. Look at the Bible says, the statement right before the one we just read. But they were all afraid of him. Let's say that together, ready to begin. But they were all afraid of him. It's just the opposite of faith. These early church believers, they were afraid of Saul because of his tendency. But Barnabas did not respond in fear, but Barnabas responded in faith. And he responded in faith, desiring to reach out to him and to encourage him. I wonder tonight, what is governing your life? Is it fear or is it faith? Is it fear or faith? And I pray that as a church that we would be controlled by faith, believing that God will use us to be a help and encouragement to other people. But not only was Barnabas courageous to forgive and when he was controlled by faith, but I love this little statement in verse number 27 where it says, Barnabas took him. He was committed to be his friend. He was committed to be his friend. You know what we need to do as a church body? We must be committed to be friends to new church members. We must be committed on purpose to keep our hearts open and our arms open to receive the new people in. And we need to extend to them the right hand of fellowship and encourage them, just as Paul took, just as Barnabas took Paul. That word took means to lay hold of, to rescue. That's what Barnabas did towards Saul. He reached out to Saul and he took him. He rescued him. He embraced him. And I pray that you and I would not be comfortable with the, you know, the friends that we have in our adult Bible classes or the friends that we have maybe in the choir, but that we would have hearts that would be open and we would embrace the new people that God brings to this local church. Because if we don't keep reaching out, if we get this attitude, well, you know, I have my circle of friends, and that's all I'm going to fellowship with. Listen, if we have that attitude, God is going to put a lid on the ministry of this church. And we need to fight against that tendency of being comfortable with just the people that we've known for years. A good question to us, we need to ask ourselves, what new person am I reaching out to? What new person am I trying to develop a relationship with and befriend them and help them in my Sunday school class or maybe in the area of the church where I sit? We need to constantly do this. And that's what Barnabas did. Barnabas reached out and he grabbed hold of Saul and he rescued him. He said, you know what? I'm going to be your friend. Aren't you glad that Jesus is a friend of sinners? What a friend we have in Jesus. Boy, I tell you what, I pray that you and I would be more like Jesus and that we would be committed to be a friend. Now that we see here that Barnabas was, we see his description in his life, that he was gracious, but also we see, thirdly, we see he was godly in his example. He was godly in his example. Look at Acts chapter 11, verse number 24. You ever kind of read some verses? Sometimes you just read them and it's just like, you just read it and you don't allow it to really kind of sink in and kind of grab hold of you. I want you to look at Acts chapter 11, verse 24. Think about the testimony or the reputation, listen, that God's Holy Spirit impressed upon Luke to write and to describe Barnabas' life. For he was a, what does it say, class? He was a what? A good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Barnabas was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Now we know the Bible says there's none good. No, not one. Outside of biblical context here, it might be difficult to tell what is meant by being a good man. Good in relation to whom or what? Barnabas was not naturally good, inherently good. He wasn't even legalistically good. He was good, here it is, because he was godly. Goodness in the biblical sense means godly or righteous. Not good because of never having sinned, but good because of being infused in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. His holiness and his godliness was obvious in two ways. First of all, our scripture says here, for he was a good man. Why? Because he was full of the Holy Ghost. He was a spirit-filled man. Now, how many times have we heard our pastor from this pulpit, sitting in this auditorium, how he challenged us to be people that are spirit-filled? How he challenges us, make sure that we're walking in the Spirit. Make sure that you're controlled by the Spirit of God. Here we find a biblical example, Barnabas, who the Bible describes as a man full of the Holy Ghost. He was a Spirit-filled man. But not only that, but second of all, it says he also was a faith-filled man. So Barnabas was a good man. Why? Because he was a man that was full of the Holy Ghost, and he was also full of faith. Now, you know, as we think about that, we need to ask ourselves, what are we full of tonight? Are we full of greed? Are we full of anger? Are we full of bitterness? Are we full of unrestrained lust? Are we full of hatred? Are we full of self? Barnabas was a man that was spirit-filled, and he was a man that was faith-filled. Second of all, let's look at the demonstration of one's life. If you have your Bibles open, turn to Acts chapter 11, verse 22. Acts chapter number 11 and verse number 22. The Bible says, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. How was his life demonstrated that, man, this man is just an amazing man. He was a man that encouraged others. First of all, he acknowledged the supernatural working of God. He acknowledged the supernatural working of God. Look at verse number 23, where the Bible says, and when he came, he had seen the grace of God. Now, as we stand back and as we look at this ministry and this church, we need to always be reminded it's not because of us, but it's because of the grace of God. And that's why we've heard our pastor say many times how he quoted Psalms 118, verse number 23, is marvelous in our eyes. Why? Because this is the Lord's doing. And we should never forget that this is the Lord's doing. It's not because of you. It's not because of me. It's because of him. Amen? And we serve a great and mighty God. And Barnabas acknowledged this. He acknowledged that it was the supernatural working of God in the lives of these believers at Antioch. And he acknowledged that. But not only did he acknowledge that, but then second of all, he applauded it. The Bible says in verse 23, who when he came, he had seen the grace of God. And then what does the Bible say? Those two words. Was what? Glad. Man, he was glad. I mean, there was a sense of praise and joy in his heart about what God was doing in the lives of those believers there at Antioch. Man, he was praising God. He was rejoicing for the lives that were being transformed through the teaching and the preaching of God's word. Man, Barnabas was glad. Aren't you glad when someone walks down the aisle and comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Aren't you glad when they take the step of believer's baptism and identifies with the Lord's death, his burial, and his resurrection? Aren't you glad when someone walks down the aisle and they fall down by these altars and they pray and they get their hearts right with God, they get their hearts right with one another? Aren't you glad when God is at work in people's lives? Oh, Barnabas was. Man, Barnabas was all jazzed up, if you allow me to say it that way. Man, he was excited when God was at work in people's lives. May our hearts be awakened to the wonderful truth that God is at work in this place. Listen, it's God doing that. It's a supernatural working on his abundant power. And we ought to stand in awe of, boy, God has been good to us. Some of you have been saved here. Some of you, your marriages have been put back together. Some of you, your teenagers have come back to the Lord. Some of you, you have family, you have children that have met their lifelong mate in this church. We have seen our own teenagers grow up in this place and leave this place to go serve the Lord around the globe. And we ought to be glad about that. Man, our hearts ought to be filled with joy in what God's been doing here. Not only did he acknowledge and then he applauded, but I love this last part, he assisted. Barnabas assisted in the supernatural working of God. Look at that verse says in verse 23, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad. Now look at that next phrase. Exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. You know, when Barnabas began to see these people and their lives were being changed, you know, Barnabas said, you know, I want to be a part of this. Man, I want to assist. I want to help. I want to get involved in helping these believers to continue on in their faith. And he challenged them. He conferred with them. And he said, listen, I want to encourage you to cleave to the Lord. Oh, can I challenge? Can I encourage you tonight? Cleave to the Lord. Cleave to his word. Cleave to his promises. throughout this building, there's folks right next to you, or maybe right behind you, or maybe a couple rows next to you. Listen, they're going through a trial right now. And you know what they need? They need someone to encourage them. They need to hear something. Hey, listen, God's going to make it. God's going to see you through. God's going to provide. Hey, God's going to give you grace for this trial. Hey, God's with you right now. You may not see it, but boy, I tell you what, God's grace is all over your life. Keep cleaving to the Lord. And I believe that God desires for each and every one of us to be a part of this. We have a little saying around here. Every minister, every member is a what? Minister. Every saint is a what? Servant. God wants to use us. God wants us to be a part of His mighty army of encouraging and strengthening and developing and loving and caring and supporting His people. Now we see the description of one's life and we see the demonstration of one's life. Now let's look at the difference one's life can make. I think we've heard many times from our pastor his heart's desire to make a difference in this community. Not only have we heard him say, I want to make a difference in this community, I want to make a difference with God's grace, God's enabling, I want to make a difference in our state. And we've heard our pastor say this. If God be willing to use us, it'd be cool to see God use us to touch our country, to bring revival to it. And then we've heard him say, God has allowed us and God is using this church to make a difference in this world. It's not us, but it's His amazing grace. Through missionaries like the Grahams, like the Charters that just went back to El Salvador, making a difference. The Youngs in Russia, the Winklers, Estonia, the Matanos in Mexico. God's using us. God's using this church. I think we have an opportunity by the amazing sovereignty of God and His amazing grace to make a difference around the world. No, let that sink in. I know, first of all, I want to make a difference in my family, amen? But then besides that, God is allowing us to do that. But how? How was Barnabas able to make a difference? Give you three thoughts. He possessed a spirit of willingness. He possessed a spirit of willingness. Remember Acts 9:27, how Barnabas took him, Saul, and brought him to the apostles? He was willing to step out of his comfort zone. He was willing to walk by faith, not by sight or what he heard. This is Saul. Saul of Tarsus, the one that persecuted the church. But he had a willing spirit. Let me ask you, do you still have that willing spirit? That willing spirit to serve in a bus class? You still have that willing spirit to jump on a bus route? You still have that willing spirit to serve in whatever ministry? Do you have that willing spirit? Or your spirit of willingness is dwindling a little bit? And your attitude is creeping in and say, well, I've done it now for 20 years now. I've been serving now for 15 years now. You know, I've been really giving it out. Now it's time for, you know, that new group of workers to come in. I'm thankful there's people in this auditorium like a John Downey, like a Phil Chapman, and like a Sherry Tierney that has been serving for decades. Amen. They never lost that spirit of willingness of getting involved and staying involved. May we just re-enlist and roll up our sleeves and say, you know what, there's a work to do. There's still a great harvest in this valley. And we need to labor faithfully and fervently for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Man, Barnabas had that willing spirit. Oh, the Bible says in Philippians 2 and verse number 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. It's not about us. But in the lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Oh, Barnabas had that spirit of willingness. But not only that, but second of all, he had a steadfast walk. He had a steadfast walk. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter number 13 and verse number 2, and as they ministered to the Lord, they fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Here we find that Barnabas and also Saul, how they ministered to the Lord and how they fasted. Man, now you have Barnabas and Saul co-laboring together. But here we find the secret of their labor was their private time with the Lord. It's good that we have that public ministry. You know, teaching the fifth grade boys class or singing in the choir or ushering or serving on the bus route or playing an instrument. But may we resist doing that in our own strength. And may we be faithful. And may we minister to the Lord. And may we labor in fasting and in prayers. So that our labor, that our work, our service for the Lord could be mightily blessed by the hand of God. The Bible says in Psalm 63, verse 1 and 2, the psalmist said, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Did you seek the Lord this morning? Did you open up his word? Did you feast upon it? Did you cry out to him and say, Lord, I need something from you today. I need your nourishment. Lord, I need the meat of your word to nourish me and to strengthen me and to help me in my walk. The psalmist continued, my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. For what reason? To see thy power and thy glory. How did Barnabas make a difference? A spirit of willingness, a steadfast walk. And then finally, he had a spirit-filled witness. The Bible says there in Acts chapter 11, verse 24 through 26, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek for Saul. And when he had found him, they brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called first Christians in Antioch. I love that little phrase where it says, and much people was added unto the Lord. That's cool. Much people was added unto the Lord. So tonight as we look at Barnabas, by the way he lived his life, the apostles renamed him. They renamed him the Son of Consolation. The one that encouraged others. How many of you have ever lived in a very cold climate? I mean, so cold that, man, when you got in your car, the seats were frozen. You know what I'm talking about? Several years ago, my wife had this wonderful idea. Why don't we go back home for Christmas? We went back and we froze. I mean, it got so cold, our boogers froze. I mean, it was cold. Back in the Midwest, they have something what they call jumper cables. Now, some of you from California, you have no idea what these are. Or Chapel, you probably never seen one of these, have you, growing up here in Southern California. But let me, as you could tell, I haven't worked with one of these in a long time. There you go. In the wintertime, it gets so cold, your battery on your vehicle loses its power. And what it needs encouragement. All right? You put your key in the car and you turn the ignition and it goes, rubber, rubber, rubber. And then you wait a couple seconds and you think, well, I'm going to try it again. And it goes, rubber. And then most gifted mechanics like myself, I pop the hood and I get out of the car and I lift up the hood and I look at the engine, shut the hood, get back in the car, turn the ignition on, and it goes, rum. At that time, what it needs some encouragement. And so you stand outside freezing to death, and you see cars coming down, and you start waving to them. They slow down, they roll down their window a little bit. You have any jumper cables? I said, sure. So they pull up to your car, and they take these cables, and they plug them onto their battery. The reason why is because he has a lot of encouragement. And so you go to your vehicle, and you put these on to the battery. Come on, brother. You're getting too comfortable back there. And you hook these up, negative and a positive. You hook them up, and then you through this line right here, you have encouragement flowing through there. And you wait a couple seconds, you jump in your car, and you turn on the ignition and go, rum, rum. You wait a couple more seconds, need some more encouragement, man. Give me some more encouragement. Need some more of that. Come on, give me some more. Yeah, okay. Start that up. Wait a second. Hope I'm not marking this up. It's got that encouragement flowing through it. You turn that ignition on, and it goes. And what it needed was some. Let me ask you. Will you find somebody where their battery is low? And will you decide to give them some encouragement. And I know there's some right now that your battery is empty. And you're saying, come on, give me some juice. Encourage me. But at times what we need to learn is what David learned. And David said in 2 Samuel, David learned encourage himself. in the Lord. May we be a church, and may we be the believers that are willing to give some encouragement to someone else. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us and for your love and your strength. And thank you, Lord, how your word encourages us and strengthens us, Lord, to so that we could keep going, so that we don't run out of juice, so that we don't run out of energy. But by your grace, you energize us. Your word strengthens and pours courage into us. And I pray that we would be a reflection of you to this world. May we be a reflection of you to our family. And may we be a reflection of you to our church family. And may we be a reflection of you throughout our community, so that we might encourage.
Thank you for being a growing Christian and for joining us for today's message. To find out more about Lancaster Baptist Church or about Pastor Paul Chapel, go to lancasterbaptist.org or paulchapel.com.